You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today we remember the 10 years that have passed since the Pike River disaster. I spoke with Anna Osborne, spokesperson of the Pike River Family Reference Group Stand With Pike, and wife of Milton Osborne, who died in the disaster, about Stand With Pike and the anniversary of the disaster. 10 years on from the Pike River disaster, what does this anniversary mean for you?
It means hope this time, this anniversary. It means hope that people will never have to go through what we have had to go through after suffering a loss in the workplace. For some of the Pike River families who have branched off and formed Stand With Pike, we now have a relationship with Parliament and government agencies to try and prevent accidents and tragedies happening in the workplace. And so for me, it is hope that we can work together to prevent needless deaths and loved ones having, you know, to put up with losing somebody they really love due to a tragedy that should have been preventable.
What is the work that Stand With Pike does?
Right, well, we lobby the government for stronger health and safety laws. We speak with the politicians responsible for that portfolio, like we did yesterday on the 10th anniversary. We spoke with Jacinda Ardern herself about it, but we also spoke with the Health and Safety Minister, Michael Wood, and he's new to the job, but he is, he listens to us. And since Pike River, we have had 700 people lose their lives in the workplace or on the roads, which is simply not good enough. And so obviously there's something wrong with our laws that this is still happening. So we need to make changes so that people are guaranteed, to go home after their day's work.
What kind of changes would you like to see the government make to support better workplaces?
Yeah. Well, I'd actually like to see corporate manslaughter be looked at as a start, because, you know, you can rightfully go to jail for killing a cat in New Zealand, but no employer ever has for killing a worker. So I think we need to seriously look at corporate manslaughter, but also we need to enforce, WorkSafe need to be stronger in their decisions when they prosecute. You know, they barely prosecute people. They need to have the power to actually enforce the laws that we have, even though they are weak. They tend not to prosecute when they should. So, something that the majority of white families seem to see, actually.
With this disaster being of national prominence that has required ongoing government involvement for the last 10 years, what impact has this had on the families of those lost?
Oh, look, it has had a massive impact. You know, we have lost 29 good men to our communities. And, you know, speaking for me personally, my husband was the Deputy Fire Chief of the Nehiri Volunteer Fire Brigade. He was on the Board of Trustees at my children's school. He was a secretary of the domain board in our community. And so we're talking about a small community who has lost one person that was a very important member to it. So each family has lost a loved one, and they were loved by their communities, and they got involved in their communities as well. So, it's a loss. It's a massive loss when you lose them to the workplace.
And what will re-entry into the mine represent for the families?
Going into the mine will mean that hopefully the police will be able to find the evidence required to bring about future prosecutions for those responsible for allowing our men to be underground that day. We know that Pike River was a ticking time bomb. Some of them did. They knew it was a ticking time bomb, and they allowed our men to be in an environment where it became toxic, and they did nothing about it. They put production over safety, and because of that, our men died. And people to account for that. We have had nobody in a court of law yet to, no charges have been laid. Nobody has ever given us the truth about what happened at Pike River. We've had no justice, we've had no accountability, and we certainly haven't had closure because the men are still in the mine there. So it's really important that we get evidence. We hopefully have future prosecutions and the families have their day in court with the people responsible for the tragedy.
That was Anna Osborne. I also spoke with Richard Wagstaff from the New Zealand Council of Trade Unions about how work environments can be improved. Yesterday marked the 10-year anniversary of the Pike River disaster. How do you think this event has changed the nation's perspective on work safety?
I think immediately the disaster occurred was a major wake-up call for New Zealand, and just the sheer scale of it, of the tragedy, I think was quite a shock and led obviously to a Royal Commission and to a health and safety rethink in New Zealand. And it got people to reflect on what is an appalling record in this country of the rate of injury and fatality at work. And it became clear that we're a long way behind Australia and even further behind countries like the UK who we like to compare ourselves with. So it made a big sort of splash at the time. What we've seen is the families in particular had continued a fight to not only get justice at Pike River, but importantly, and we saw this yesterday, to improve our health and safety system, our laws, our resourcing, and our attitudes towards it. So I think the impact of the disaster itself is far from over. Well, I certainly hope it's far from over, because we haven't got health and safety fixed 10 years later.
So what does the CTU do to improve working environments and hold these people, WorkSafe, the government, accountable?
Well, we continue to campaign for improved health and safety. We will be certainly continuing to do that in the years ahead. At every opportunity we raise these issues. We've raised them with the new government already. We raised them with the previous government, particularly around resourcing for WorkSafe. But in the workplace itself, we continuously promote better health and safety systems. You know, in the last couple of days, for example, myself, along with the CTU affiliate health sector unions, discussed with the DHB sector, which is a large part of our economy, the need to move beyond just simple health and safety policies to health and safety agreements with unions and workers, so that it's more than just a policy ticked off by management. We really move to a situation where health and safety and the way that it's done is an agreement with the workforce, and it's co-owned, co-led and co-operated with the workforce and the union. That kind of workplace culture is rare in New Zealand. There are exceptions like Kiwi Rail, but more generally speaking, most decision-making in the workplace, including policies like health and safety, tend to be top-down policies that management decides and just sort of expects workers to follow, rather than them being basically shared and co-designed and co-operated. And that's kind of, for us, the fundamental culture of New Zealand's workplaces needs to change to one of much more respect and reciprocity.
Can you walk us through the CTU's four goals for an improved working environment?
Yes. No. So, following up what I've said, really, we want to make work safe work. That's our regulator. We want it to have increased funding, and so that it can do more prosecutions, but also and including spot fines, but also just have a greater presence generally. We want to see the law change, so health and safety reps are in every workplace and they're trained and they have proper training and workers have access to them and they see them as their representatives. Thirdly, we want the law to better protect people's mental health at work, including issues like stress and bullying and psychological health. And finally, we want to see the Health and Safety at Work Act reviewed. It was a new act. It was hoped that the act would be part of setting New Zealand's record straight on health and safety and see a dramatic improvement. Well, we haven't seen a dramatic improvement. We're still seeing 95 people dead this year at work, and none of them should have died. And we need to work out what and if the act can be improved to support a better performance. It's not just the law, it's about how we implement the law, but still we think that there's room to improve the law as well.
You mentioned protection of mental health in the workplace. How relevant is it for workplaces to acknowledge the mental health of their staff, and how can they support their employees?
It's a huge issue, and one that is growing very much in the minds of health and safety professionals, that psychosocial health issues such as fatigue, bullying, anxiety and stress seem to be much more on the rise. But it may reflect in part the kinds of work that people do now, but we know a lot of people suffer from those things, and without it being sort of better recognised in our law and in our systems, it's just being driven underground. And we know from surveys and discussions with working people, issues such as bullying get an enormous response because people feel the culture of work they're in is one of sort of top-down authoritarianism rather than genuine co-work. You know, we need to, you know, really have a system that addresses that front on. So the interest in this issue is developing significantly, you know, by the day, really. It's becoming the emerging issue in health and safety.
That was Richard Wagstaff from the New Zealand Council of Trade Unions.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.